Welcome to Christians Community Center of Los Angeles, the church for truth seekers. I am Pastor Tom Washington, and it is a blessing to be given the opportunity to share the word of truth with you. Our prayer is that you take that truth and apply it to your life with power and authority. For more information about Christians Community Center of Los Angeles Ministries and other teaching opportunities, please visit us at www.ctcla.org. We also want you to do as 2 Timothy 2:15 states, you must study to show thyself approved unto Yahweh, a workman needing not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Shalom. Father Yahweh, we thank you and praise you for this day. Thank you and praise you, Father Yahweh, for who you are in our lives. Right now, Father Yahweh, we give control of our lives to you, Father Yahweh. Lead us, guide us, direct us, Father, by your word and by your spirit. We don't have to ask that the word be anointed. It's already anointed. But please, anoint the vessel, no matter how worthy or unworthy he may be. But let your word go forth in the way that it was designed and penetrate. And let it transform, let it heal, let it deliver, let it stay, save, and restore. We give you the glory for it. Yeshua's mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, saints. It's a blessing to be sharing with you this morning, not just those that are here in the sanctuary, but also those that are tuning in on iChurch. Thank you so much for joining us and being a part of our services today. Before I go into the message, I do want to acknowledge when the Holy Spirit moves in service, speaks. You saw that earlier in our worship portion. That's really important because we believe in the Holy Spirit being in operation here at 3CLA. We believe in the Holy Spirit being in control at 3CLA. And so when you see that operating, those are the gifts that he said would be manifested in the body, in the church. And when that goes forth, he is speaking to us. And we shouldn't take that for granted. Rather, we should rejoice in the fact that he is moving and having his being and he's inhabiting the praises. And what he was saying was that he needs each and every one of us to put more of an effort. You have to do this. Tell your neighbor, you got to do this. It's not something that falls on you and you, that takes control of you like you a robot. You know, you have to engage. Anybody want to be taken over by the Holy Spirit? You want him to lead. You want him to go. Then you got to act like it. Does anybody really want the Holy Spirit to take control in their lives? We really want that. So if we really want that, we got to start. Tell your neighbor, act like it. We don't talk about it. You know, because, you know, that's the problem with us sometimes. We say a whole, we can talk. Oh, we can talk. I know so many people that can talk. And you just look at them and they got all kinds of honey flowing out of the mouth. But what about the life, right? Because that's what Yahweh is concerned about. He is concerned about the heart. He's concerned about how you live. Ask your neighbor, how you live? More like, how you living? So that's why we're here. That's why we're joined together. And for these few minutes that I have your attention, we're going to give it to him and we're going to let him talk to us about how we live it. And so we've been talking about knowing, and it's so important to know. As I was telling you in earlier sessions, gaining knowledge in the Hebrew tradition gaining that wisdom is of the utmost importance. They put a high priority on it because it's about moving up in the levels. So once you gain some knowledge, he's revealing some stuff you can't handle yet. Some mysteries you ain't ready for, right? But our desire is to want to be ready for them. So what we have to do is we have to start out on the foundation. And then from the foundation, we what? Build on it. And we keep building and we keep growing in knowledge. And he wants to reveal those things. And I love how the scripture puts it. He wants to reveal, yay, the deep things, right? When you say, yay, he didn't just say, I want to reveal the deep things to you. He said, yay. The deep, because there's something in what the deep things. I mean, once you get into the deepness of him, you know, I mean, it's amazing. It's something that you just cannot. Sometimes you just cannot comprehend. One thing I cannot comprehend is his love for us. The saints, we be tripping. You be tripping. Y'all be tripping. We do. And we take this salvation for granted. You know, when we get right down to it, at the end of the day, your salvation is about your relationship with the Father. It's not about nobody else and not about mama's relationship, daddy's relationship, grandma. Well, my grandmama was saying, no, but what about you? I like the way she said, it ain't got nothing to do with grandma. Somewhere we riding on folks' coattails sometimes. So what I was sharing with you guys let's go to Hosea, or in the Hebrew is Hoshea. We are seekers of truth here. We call ourselves the Church of Truth Seekers because it's about truth. It's not about denomination, religion, tradition. It's about what does the word say? And that's what's important. What does the word say about whatever situation that we're talking about? And so when we look at Hosea or Hoshea, the Hebrew name, the fourth chapter and the sixth verse, and it's a sad commentary on the church. We're talking about the church because everybody here, we're believers, spirit-filled believers. And he says in scripture, and the thing that gets me is that Yahweh desires that all men and women be saved. That's his desire. He wants, but he knows that he's given us free choice. So we have to choose to serve him, right? And so when I look at the scripture, he knew that some people weren't going to what? Choose him, because you got different people. You got people who don't have the gospel at all, right? Unsaved. Then you got people who have the gospel, but then you got two different kinds of folks that got the gospel. One group of people have the gospel and they actually apply it to their lives. Then another group of people actually have the gospel, but they don't apply it to their lives. Now, excuse me for going to this side about not doing it and this side for doing it. I'm just moving around. But I can say the same thing. We have believers that got the knowledge, but they're not applying it to their lives, right? Because they, before that, this was the group that was applying, okay. And you guys were the group that wasn't. And we have a group of believers who what? Have the knowledge and what? Are applying it to their lives. So when we look at the scripture, it says, my people are destroyed for what? The lack of knowledge. And when we look at the lack of knowledge, we look at knowledge. The Hebrew word being da'at. Say da'at. This is the kind of knowledge that has to be put in practice so that it builds upon itself, right? So it's not good enough just knowing. You actually have to do it, right? Say it's not just important knowing. It's important doing. Because once, let me put it this way. Anybody believe in supernatural? That's why you're here. You're serving a God that is supernatural. There is nobody greater
than him. He moves in ways that you cannot understand or comprehend. He does stuff that in the natural, it doesn't make any sense, but he manifests his power, what? Supernaturally, and he can make stuff happen in your life right now. That's the kind of God we serve. So let me put it this way. If you don't believe in the supernatural, you need to hit the dough. Because I don't know about you, but I anticipate the supernatural. I anticipate him moving. I know his word is true. I know that he'll do what he said he's going to do, right? And so we got to understand that. So I'm saying that to say, when you get knowledge and when his word goes forth in your life, something supernatural happens. Something moves. Something connects and accomplishes something. It's just like I was talking to somebody the other day. We're talking about the name Yeshua. You know, we're truth seekers, so we spread his true name is not Jesus, it's Yeshua, right? Means he will save, right? He will deliver, right? Well, the thing about that name, come on, I'm about to get into the supernatural. You ready for it? The thing about that name is once you share that name with somebody who has probably not heard it and not applied it, and you go away, you go to your house or your apartment or your condo or you wherever you go, and that person that has heard that name is now, they got that knowledge. See, basically, when you drop knowledge, you don't drop the bomb on somebody. Because what happens is that knowledge starts to what? It starts working. Anybody got a witness that the knowledge starts to work? Tell your neighbor the word works. It works. You ain't got to do a whole lot. You just drop the knowledge. And you don't go home in your old condo, wherever I say, wherever you go. And that word is starting to work. So every time they even think about the name Jesus, Yeshua is right there in the background. You know what? That name, whether they receive it or not, at that moment in time, it's there. That name is what? Working. And bottom line is this, once you drop knowledge on somebody, they're never the same. They're never the same. Because see, that's why the word says, stay with me, some plant. The word says, some water. And then Yahweh what? Why? Because he's supernatural. He gives increase because he's supernatural. Once you plant a seed, it ain't got no choice but to grow. So, bottom line, I consider myself, I'm a seed sower. I'm just dropping seed. I got any more seed sowers up in here? You just, boom, boom, right. Do I got any waterers? Yes, sir. Because sometimes, you know, somebody done dropped the seed already. Ricky might have dropped the seed, and then here I come. Well, I don't need no more seeds. I just need to pour the water on it. And what is the Holy Spirit going to do? So it's important for believers to embrace the knowledge, right? So da'ath is the knowledge that now I got it, but now I need to what? It's going to work, but I need to start working it. Because it's going to start working on you, but at some point, you got to start working it, right? And when we look at this, we understand the fact that how can people be destroyed by the lack of knowledge? Well, the lack of knowledge is not knowing at all. But once I know, then I can be destroyed by not putting the knowledge into practice. So it can say this, my people are destroyed from the lack of knowledge, and in the deeper Hebrew, yea, the deeper meaning, my people are destroyed from the lack of application of knowledge. That's what da'af is. That's what's so beautiful about the language, is that, see, once you get into, once you go Hebrew, you can't go back. I can't rhyme it. Once you go to Hebrew, it's hard to go back, right? because it's so much more expressive than the English. So when we look at that, we find a deeper understanding. And so when we look at the scripture, and people are destroyed by the lack of knowledge, because thou hast rejected knowledge. So if you got knowledge and you refuse to apply it, you're rejecting it. So it says, because you have rejected the knowledge, I'm going to do something to you. I'm going to reject you. You see what it feels like. You're rejecting my knowledge, I'm rejecting you. What does his rejection mean? It means there's some stuff that you ain't going to get. There's some blessings that you ain't going to be, you know, you're not going to be able, there's some favor. Anybody need favor? I need favor. You know, always, we need that, right? And so there's certain things that we're not going to get if we're rejecting them. That thou shalt be no priest to me. Seeing, first of all, did you guys know that you're priests? Tell your neighbor, you actually a priest. You have a priest. You have a royal priesthood. You have you have a calling on you. Now, you might never get behind one of these and say nothing. Hey, but when you at work, you can share the gospel. You know, when you with your family, you what? Sharing, dropping seeds. If he could just get some seed sowers up in his house, if he could just get some people that are going to, right? Drop the knowledge. So seeing that thou hast forgotten the law of thy Elohim, he says, I will also forget not just you, but I'm forgetting your. The knowledge is not just for you. Don't you know that trickle down to your seed, husband, wife, seed, and all that? So you're not being saved for yourself. You're being saved for your whole household. You got to have a covering for what? Whole household. Man, so when we go here, so that's what we've been talking about, is being able to receive this knowledge that he is dropping on us. So let's go to Matthew, the seventh chapter. So you got to allow this da'at to take root. So that really corresponds with what the Spirit was moving and saying today as the prophecy went forth. He's saying, I need you to desire to do more, be more in me. You have to desire it. He's not trying to force himself on you, but rather he wants you to love him. Hey, anybody ever been in a relationship where you wanted the relationship? Don't say it though. I'm just asking a question. You wanted it, but the other person didn't want you. So you was trying to do stuff, trying to be noticed, and they didn't what? They ain't looking for you. Has anybody seen that happening? You seeing somebody trying to get somebody's attention and affection and what, and then they get rejected. They look somebody said stupid. I wasn't going to say that. It's just a little desperate. That's the word, right? But he wants a relationship with us. He wants it. And he wants you to desire to have a relationship with him. It's an exchange. He wants it. But he can't force himself on you. You have to willingly what? Want to be with him, right? And so let's go to Matthew 7 chapter. Knowing is important. And we're going to find out why it is. And we're going to move a little deeper today. Matthew, the 7th chapter, Matthew, the 7th chapter, 21st verse. If you got it, say, I got it. Okay. Now, how many people have encountered folk that say, I'm a believer, I'm a Christian? You've seen them. I'm a Christian. Even in the club, y'all bumping, and he was like, I got to go to church tomorrow. Oh, I got to go to church too. Y'all laughing, but it happens. You know, sitting at the bar. Yeah, no. You got the beers and everything. Yeah, you know, God. Oh, you believe in God? I'm a Christian too. But y'all turn it up. If you know that, then you understand what he's about to say. 21st verse says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom. Oh, wow, really? But there are people, there are pastors out there that are teaching and churches that are bringing forth this doctrine that everybody's going. No matter what you do, you're good. Why? Because he's so loving and kind and he would never do anything to you. It's not about him doing anything to you. It's about you doing something to yourself. It's about you rejecting him. So he's saying there's going to be some folks that's going to say, Lord, Lord. But he's going to say, you can't enter in. He says, but he that doeth what? The will of my Father, which is in heaven. What does the 22nd verse say? Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name, haven't we cast out devils? And in thy name, haven't we done many wonderful works? They're going to be trying to plead a case. And then the 23rd verse is saying, and then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. How in the world can Yahweh tell people that believed on him he never knew them? Well, let's look at the word new. In the Hebrew, in the Greek, it's genosko. Genosko means, the word new or know, in genosko means a getting to know or a getting established, which comes from a what? There are a lot of people that are saying, oh, I know God. But they don't have no relationship. What denotes a relationship? Well, when he's speaking to you and telling you what to do from his word and you decide that you're not going to do it, that ain't a relationship. A relationship in is exchange. Say exchange. Exchange. We are feeding into him. He is feeding into us. We have a relationship. A relationship means that we know each other. And so he's saying, depart from me. I never genoscoed you. Meaning, not just I didn't know you, but I never had a relationship with you. You never allowed an exchange to take place between us. I tried to talk to you, but you gave me the hand. You turned away from me. You ignored me. And I was trying to speak life into your life. I was trying to speak blessings into your life. I was trying to change circumstances. I was trying to heal you. I was trying to deliver you, but you rejected me. So therefore, we have no relationship. Since we have no relationship, we didn't genosko. Since we didn't genosko, I don't know. So it's going to be a line drawn. Of those that know him, we're talking about believers. We're not even talking about people that are not in the faith. We're talking about people that are in the faith. Look around the room. These are people in the faith. Unfortunately, there's a line drawn between those that are in the faith and want to do his will and those that are in the faith that are rejecting him. And then he says, depart. That's deep. Get out of here. Get to stepping. Get to moving, because you're working something. He says you work iniquity. And do you want to know what iniquity is? When you break it down in the Greek and the Hebrew, it means your own thing. Iniquity is your own thing. You were doing your own thing. You wasn't doing my thing. You were doing you. And how do we put it? We put it a nice way. What do people say? I'm doing me. Isn't that what I got to do? I gotta do me. Well, if you gotta do you, then he don't know you. He's looking for a handful of folk that know him, that wanna do him. And the question is, do we have anybody that wants to do him? right? He said simply this: I know y'all want to do stuff. I know you have desires and stuff. But he's saying, seek ye first the kingdom of Yahweh and his righteousness, and then everything else is going to be added unto you. See, you guys have a concept and a small idea of what you want life to be. But if you would, if you could see the life that he has for you, you would be blown away, because you can't even comprehend the stuff that he has available to you. But you're not going to know it unless you give your life to him and say, Yahweh, you know about my life so much more better than I do. So take my life and make it exactly what it is that you want to do with it. Because I know if you take it, I'm going to be blessed. I'm going to be stress-free. Hey, when you give it to him, there ain't no stress. Let me put it this way. When you blessed, there ain't no stress. Why don't you say it to yourself? When you blessed, there is no stress. Tell your neighbor, chilling. We chilling. I mean, when you really look at it, when you're doing his will and you're doing it his way, you're chilling. Do I got anybody to chill? He said, do I got any chillers? Because this paints a picture for me. If he's saying the people that are doing me are doing you and doing their own thing, he's going to depart, then common sense tells me I don't need to be doing my own thing, because my own thing is iniquity. So let me just let that thing go and let me get with him. If we just do it, it's a function of, say, obedience. And so when we can look here, I got to show you this here. Oh, good gracious. Because the bottom line is this. And I didn't know if I was going to get here, but I'm force my way on it. Johannin, 14th chapter. John, the 14th chapter. If you're a Hebrew scholar, it's what? I can't believe this, because I was in Bible study Wednesday night, and I was... I went off on a tangent. I'll share it with you in a second. 15th chapter. 14th chapter. 15th verse. It wasn't really a tangent, but, you know, it was a parable. So if we go to the 15th verse of the 14th chapter, if you got it, say, I got it. Okay. He says, if you love me, let's say it again. If it's conditional. It's an if. If you love me, keep my commandments. So I went off. I'm a 90s kid. Any other 90s people I know, I was in 90s R&B. Listen, for those of you who don't know, I've been a musician ever since I was 5 years old. So I was there playing keyboards. And, you know, in some of my earlier years, you know, when I was trying to do my own thing, you know, I was in the clubs playing, hey, you know, I was. Because that was, you know, we was trying to be. Don't y'all act like you always been saved and you done stayed saved and you done, you know. Some of y'all was doing the nay-nay. Or the boogaloo. An apostle said last week, I said, apostle, what is the boogaloo? He said, it's the same thing as the nay-nay. So we've all had a form of godliness at some point in our life and denied the power. You know, some of us have, you know, turned up and you know, done some stuff. If I had some pictures of some of y'all... Yeah, actually, I could go on Facebook and see some recent pictures.
Hey.
This is a glass. Hey. We having a good time. We turned up. I'm like, where y'all at? Sometimes I got to close my eyes. I was like, I didn't see that. But anyway, so 90s music. So there was a group called Brownstone. Sang, they could sing. The song was called If You Love Me. And it said, and it was four mantras to it. It said, if you love me, if you love me, if you love me, if you love me, okay. I see y'all up on music game. Simply said, and it's common sense. If you love me, say it, do it, show it, prove it. That's what he's saying in these commandments. If you love me, you won't prove it. Tell your neighbor, prove it. Now see, we're not talking about no love affair like they was talking about. We're talking about a relationship with Yahweh. And he said, if you love me. Well, how do we prove it, Yahweh? You want us to prove? Why do you want us to prove it? You should just love us. You shouldn't require us to prove it. And you know what his answer is? I proved it to you. How did I prove it? I gave you my only begotten son, that whosoever believe in me shall not perish, but have everlasting life. I proved it. So since I already proved it, I need you to prove it too. Well, I can't get... Yes, you can. You can prove it by keeping my commandment. He said, I'm going to keep it simple for you. You ain't got to get up on the cross and do the same sacrifice with me. But in a way, if you do my commandments, you're denying yourself. And that's what he's saying. He said, how can a man serve me? He's got to what? Say, I got to deny myself. So what he's saying, it's not hard. Tell your neighbor it's not hard. The answer isn't hard. What's challenging is you making a decision. That's what you making a decision. That's the hard thing for you. But thank Yahweh for his grace and mercy, because I was out there trying to prove that I could do it without him. But guess what? He had enough grace and mercy to give me some time to get my act together and realize I can't do nothing without him. Nothing. And some of y'all are riding on grace and mercy. Because you might be sitting here, but you haven't made up your mind. Your behind is here, but what about your mind? It's not about you sitting here. It's about you giving it here. You got to give it to him, right? So simply, he said, if you love me, prove it. Keep my commandments. And he says, 16, I'm going to pray the Father that he shall give you another comforter. I got to go. That's what Yeshua was saying. I'm giving my life. I'm laying my life down. I'm dying for your sins, and I'm going to go. But I'm sending a comforter. We all know who the comforter is. That's the Holy Ghost, y'all. I'm sending another comforter that he may what? Abide with you what? Forever. Basically, he's saying, I will pray the Father. That means he said, I'm going to go into the Father. I'm going to go in to my Father. And I'm going to tell him to send his power down. Do you guys hear? Wait, do you understand that? He said, I'm going to go. And when I go, I'm going into the Father. And I'm saying, Father, we need to send somebody to comfort them, because they need some help. They're going to need some power to work and operate in. And I'm so thankful that the Holy Ghost has the power that broke the shackles that was trying to bind me in my life. That's what makes it difficult, is that you haven't made a decision. But once you make a decision to give it to the Holy Ghost, let the Holy Ghost take control, you're on a roll. And 17 verse says, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. Wait, you guys got this power in you that the world can't understand. They can't do nothing with it. They don't even have the spiritual eyes to see the stuff that he's going to be working in your life. So he's saying, I've given you some supernatural help. Anybody needs supernatural help? Regular help ain't enough. I need supernatural. Because the world can't receive it because they can't see it. Neither knoweth him. This ain't got no relationship. Anybody that has the Holy Spirit knows. The Holy Spirit will say something to you. The Holy Spirit will move in you. He'll quicken you. And we're going to see that in a second. For he dwelleth with you and shall be what? In you, right? And so when we go to the 18th, it says, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. 19, yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but you see me, because I live, and ye shall live what? Also, 20th verse, at that day, you shall know that I am in the Father, and ye in me, and I in you. 24. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him and will manifest. When you give your life to Yahweh, number one, you get incomparable love. You can't, this love that he has for you, there is no greater love. Like Scott keep on saying, ain't nobody greater. The love that he has, that Yahweh has for you, there's no greater love. And he loves you so much, and you should love him. That last verse, and he's going to manifest. Maybe you don't get it. Let's break down manifest. Greek word, emphaniso. It means to appear plainly. It means to exhibit ability. It means to declare something on one's behalf. It means to move. It means to do. It means to show. If you decide that you want to have a life and a relationship with him, he's going to appear plainly to you. Not only that, he's going to exhibit his ability. What does that mean? The stuff that he has the power to do, you're going to see him do it. Amen. Not only that, but he's going to make some declarations about your life on your behalf. He's going to make some things happen in your favor because you've chosen him. He's going to do some supernatural intervention on your what? Behalf. Guess what? He's going to move for you. He's going to move. And how is he going to do it? He's going to show you something. Anybody want him to manifest? This right here? He's got all this power. And we know what power is, right? Dunamis. D-U-N-A-M-I-S. That's the Holy Spirit power. Right? That's dynamite power. And that power is working. And he's saying, if you choose me, if you decide that you want to know me, if you love me, if you do my commandments, I'm going to manifest. I'm going to appear plainly to you. You're going to be able to see me moving on your behalf. Not only that, I'm going to exhibit my ability, and something that you thought was impossible, I'm going to show you what I can do, and I'm going to make it unimpossible. I'm moving in your behalf. You prayed to me. You asked me to
going to move. And basically, he's saying, I'm going to show you my power. I'm going to show you my dunamis. I don't know about you, but I need some manifestation. I want him to manifest. I want the power to show, to do, to exhibit. That's what you get when you know him. When you know him, you got supernatural power at your ability. Right there. Nothing is impossible. Well, how do I know about this dunamis power? Well, guess what? There's one area in the Word that I found that was so incredible to me. Go to Yohanan. No. Wait. No, I want to go to this other one. Because that's the one. I hope I saved it right. You know, what you're doing with these computers and stuff, you think you got it. And then they do something else. Right? Okay, it's nothing but anyway, but you know what? Yeah, who's working the machine? Melissa, go to the next verse. Okay, what you got after that? And next. Oh, it's not there, but guess what? I'm going to manifest it. I got to show y'all this. I thought I saved it, but that's okay. Tell the enemy, you thought that you were trying to do some tricky stuff. But I got you. So, listen, there are some of us that need something. Who needs something from y'all, God?
Amen.
Every day we need something, right? And so, when we understand that, we gotta believe that this power that we carry around with us, because you carried it around with you, it's going to do something. If we go to Luke, Dr. Luke, I can't believe it. I saved that, and then I put it on the thing, and it didn't want to save. That's okay. We're going to do this. I'm going to leave you with this today. Dunamis power, dynamite power. If you need something from Yahweh, he knows this. So when we go to Luke 46, Luke the 8th chapter, Luke 8th chapter, 46th verse. There was a woman, and she had a condition, a blood condition, constantly bleeding, diseased. She believed that if she could just get in contact with Yeshua, that she would be healed. And what she believed is in the Old Testament, in the Torah, it was written that the Messiah would come. And not only would he come, but he would come with something. They used to wear a prayer shawl. It was called a tallit. Say tallit. And the tallit was kind of like this. You would see the sleeve, and it would kind of be outstretched like this. Right? And so a lot of times when we see in the Word the woman touched the hem, we always think that it was him. Were you like him a skirt? You him pants? No, the hem was the sleeve of the garment. So you would stretch out the garment, it would be hanging like this, and this was the hem. And the hem was also considered a wing because it looked like a wing. So the scripture had said in the Torah that he would come with healing in his wings. And she believed that if she could just touch the wing, she didn't have to touch him. If she just touched the wing, she'd be.
She was like, no, no, I don't need all that. If there's healing in the wing, just let me touch the wing. And if I touch the wing, I'm going to be made whole. So in that situation, she was in a press. The press in that day meant a whole bunch of people. You know how y'all go to Disneyland, Knott's Berry Farm. Everybody's there all huddled together. Come on, Get up on me. We in the press. Now just imagine this whole building is pressed like this. And she's trying to make her way through the press so she can just say, let me touch it. So now I done brought you up to speed. So somebody say, let me touch it. Somebody needs the talit. Somebody needs the wing. So when we go here, it says, when I saw this, it's only two spaces that this particular word is used in the Bible. See, the English, they was trying to choose words, but the words that they chose did not really exhibit the power that the true text was talking about. So what they would use is the word virtue. Virtue means good works, right? So arit, say arit. Arit is when you see in the Bible sometimes, arit is the Greek word for virtue that they use. It means good works. But in these two passages where they're talking about Yeshua, they use the virtue, but when you look up the original word, it's not arit. I'm gonna tell you what it is in a second. So Yeshua said, 46, you ready? He said, somebody touched me. The disciples was like, dude, do you see this press? Right? There's a bunch of people here. What do you mean? Somebody touched me. Everybody's touching me. But he was like, no. He said, somebody touched me. For I perceive that the virtue is gone out of me. Guess what? When I looked up this word, it's not a reet. Anybody heard of dunamis? Well, this word is called dynamis. Say dynamis. Dynamis is when the power of dunamis goes out to perform whatever it is that you need to happen in your life. From the dunamis will flow the dynamis. And the dynamis will do whatever it is that you need the dynamis to do. Because he said, wait a minute. He said, somebody touch me. They said, how do you know? Because I felt the dynamis go out from my dunamis. Does anybody need some dynamis to go out and perform whatever it is you needed to perform? That's a dynamis. Dynamis means the supernatural ability that will do, that is working, that is doing. Because the dunamis is potential. It's there ready to do something. But then, when you call on it, from the dunamis flows the dynamis. That's the dynamic, wonder-working power of Yahweh. It is the very power. Guess what dynamis does? Dynamis says, I'm going to go out and perform it. And if it doesn't exist, I'm going to create it. Somebody needs to thank him for the power that is working on your behalf, our behalf. Hallelujah. Yay. Hey. Hey. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Whatever it is that you need from Yahweh, he's saying, allow my dynamis to go out. Allow it to go out. Believe that it will go out and it will accomplish whatever I tell it to. If you need dynamis to operate in your behalf, just thank him for it right now. Thank you. Thank you for it. Yay! Hey! Oh, Father Yahweh, we thank you and praise you. Thank you and praise you for your power. The power that comes in knowing you and having a relationship, a tenosco with you, and you move on our behalf out of your love, your grace, and your mercy. You move for us. You move to us. You move through us. You manifest yourself unto us. So we thank you for your manifested power. We thank you, Father Yahweh, that there is nothing you can't do. There's nothing you can't do. There's nothing you cannot do. There is nothing that you cannot do. There is nothing that you cannot do. We believe that. And right now, minister to us the importance of us holding on to our belief in you. A belief in your power, on your supernatural ability. And all we have to do is in faith believe, and we will receive it. And we receive it all right now in the mighty name of Yeshua. We receive it right now. Somebody. Oh. We give you the glory, Father. Yeshua's mighty name, we pray. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Hey. Please be seated for just a moment. I must do this. Just like the woman with that issue.